This is Reuven Levy. We're learning together the book from Rav Shalom Arush, Gan HaShalom, The Gaon of Peace, Marital Guide for those who want to have a happy marriage. If you don't want to have a happy marriage, switch off now. But if you do, keep listening. Zrat Hashem, we're in a chapter dealing with the unpleasant situation of divorce, and what it means for the people involved. We're towards the end, we've got about another page and a half, two and a half pages to go on this section. Rav Arush writes as follows: Yeshanam kama bayot kashot etzer gerushin. There are a number of difficulties that people who are divorced face. Echad me'abayot ha'nifsot. He kasher yiladim mishutafim nimsa'im b'rishut echad m'bnei hazog. One of the problems that divorced couples can face is where the children of that marriage are left under the responsibility of one of the couple, she'enom atavel behem b'kareu, who doesn't deal with them properly. Right, so always, obviously in every divorce, if the children are somewhere, so that's not the chiddush here. So in that case where sometimes happens, that where the children are placed is not good for the children. I had an unfortunate case of my neighbour who got divorced. They had four kids. One of the reasons they got divorced, one of the reasons, as far as I know, I don't know everything was going on, but one of the reasons that was apparent to me, certainly something that the husband mentioned, was one of the reasons that the couple got divorced is because the mother wasn't interested in being a mother. She was off doing her own thing, and she wasn't interested in looking after the kids, and he basically brought up the kids himself. She went off and did her whatever she had. She had stuff that she did. She was a sense of profession that she was very interested in developing, and she was very into doing that and very little time at home, whatever. So what happened when they got divorced? He applied for custody of the kids, right? Because I basically raised them for the last, the oldest one was 10, 12 years he'd raised them. So he didn't get custody, because as usual, if the mother wants custody, then 99% times out of 100, if you can't show a good reason why, they go to the mother. So the mother, for whatever reason, she wanted to look like she was a proper mother, and she's not going to give up her kids. She didn't really want them, in my opinion. But let's say, for the sake of this argument, she didn't really want them. She didn't know what to do with them. She didn't know how to look after them. But she didn't want her husband having them, because that would mean that he weren't. And also make her look bad, like that she wasn't interested in her own kids, right? So she's got an image to keep. So she got custody of the kids. So what happens in this situation? So this is a situation he's saying that sometimes it happens that the kids are not with a person appropriate to look after them. Im mabichina gashmit kazon haznacha yitalu b'chodom there. Whether it's because, so he's giving different reasons why it might not be appropriate. It could be a question of money, that the parent that is looking after them is not able to do so. They don't have enough money to look after the kids properly. In the bichinat buchanet, or spiritually, here too in this situation, the one I've just spoken about. So in this situation, the father was modern Orthodox from the keeping pretty much all, most if not all the laws, as far as it, you know, to all outward appearance. The mother, not interested at all. She went off doing her own thing. She would nothing. Now she's got the kids. Kids have been grown up as from daddy kids, and now they're with her, and no rules. All the rules that we just used to have at home about tzniut, about dressing properly, about kashrut, about Shabbos, they all just went out the window. Kagon Shazav Etadir Fesha, for example, someone who's gone off the path. Behema Kablin Pinuk She'ino Luhufa Ben Hazuv Hashini. And they receive, in the general situation, the kids are now receiving education which is not according to the spiritual level of the other member of the couple. Lechora Ein Sara Gadola Mizo. It's clear that there's no greater pain than this. Muvan Madua Ben Hazuv. And it's understandable why the other spouse, the ex-spouse, Shayadime Namburishto, the one who doesn't have control of the kids now, Shavu Varatsuf, it's understandable why that other member of the couple is broken and destroyed. Achlo Zuader, but even so, this is not the way. Ein Zoremet, this is not the truth. Dan Kashe Yishla Dam Saragadola, even if one member of the couple has such pain like this, Khalila Khatva Shalom. Asoshi Tenla Davat Haroset Chaya. It's forbidden for him to let this destroy his life. Kibachat Loyel Kla, because that will not help at all. Binyatze Muvama Se Mizazeya. On this subject, we're going to bring an incident, scary, frightening, shocking incident. Bahame Are Ukraine, from one of the cities in Ukraine, Bismansha Tag Zerat Ha Kantonistim, at the time when they had the decrees of the Cantonists. The Cantonist decrees in Ukraine 200 years ago.
1827?
Could be. I don't know exactly. Sounds good to me. I'm happy to go with that. I don't know any different. Shiyatzak zeir lakachat yadei Yisrael harachim lasharet l'tzava harusi. What do they do? They would take young Jewish children to serve in the Russian army. Shirut shayan nimshach lo pachot mi-25 shana. Service which would last for at least 25 years. That was the minimum length of service that they would take away the children for. Yeladim b'nei chamesh, so children the age of 5, shelo yikru d'var milvad hasina shelima. They didn't know anything other than what they got from their mother. Nilku mibeitam, were taken from their homes, v'koach, with force, v'machanot hatzava lechiyot b'tanayim kashim, to serve in the army and to live in very difficult conditions. Tachat ma'utam shel anshei tzava achzorim.
Well, then the church, you know, so the church had schools which they were forced to attend.
Right. So here wasn't the case. You're right. In the case of the church, they converted them to Catholicism. But here they deprogrammed them from any religion. Right. The Russians were against every religion. They didn't want them to. Well, I swear that was communist. Cantonist, maybe.
Cantonist was the Greek Orthodox.
Okay.
Or actually, sorry, Russian Orthodox.
Russian Orthodox. Okay, so they were top, even worse. Right? And they were forced to live in very difficult conditions under the hand of these cruel army soldiers. And in most cases, they never again met their parents. And they were... what's the word? Assimilated into the goyim without even realizing it. Kamuvan shorei yeledim asu akol bishvil lavriach or lachbiyati yeledehem. Of course, the parents of children would do everything they could to hide the children or get them out of serving in the army. Ulam elu hayu orachim midei pa'am v'shitut al ha'ayarot u'ma'alim v'chochatam kamiladim. However, there were occasions when they would simply come into the village and take the children without any warning. הילדים המפוחדים היו נלקחים בחיות מבין זרועות ההורים. Children were taken by force out of the arms of their parents. והזועקים לרחמים מכונסים לעגלות סגורות מכונות לכך. And they were thrown into covered wagons which were prepared for this purpose. צעקותיהם ודפיקותיהם של הילדים על קריאות הקרון ותחנוניהם ובחיותיהם של ההורים השבורים נפל על לב קר. And all the shouting and knocking of the children on the side of the wagon, and their pleas and their crying of the parents who were broken fell on deaf ears. וכל הרואה מחזה זה היה נעתק ליבו מקומו מרוצע. And anyone who saw it, his heart would leave him from the great pain that he was witnessing. והנה, אחד הפשוטות הללו, on one of these occasions, רצה אישה אחת שחטפו ממנה את בנה הקטן לבית הכנסת. So one occasion this happened. The mother of one of these children who was taken away ran into the Beit Knesset. Patzcha et Aron HaKodesh, she opened up the Aron HaKodesh, the Ark, the Holy Ark, v'sha'aga v'kolei kolot v'chiyot noraot, and she screamed out with great cries and terrible tears in front of the lifnei ha-Sefer Torah, in front of the Sefer Torah. ולרוב סערה ושאגתה נפלה ומתה רחמן לצלם. And because of her great sorrow she fell dead on the floor רחמן לצלם. כמובן שנעשה מזה רעש גדול. Of course, as a result of this, there was a great uproar. וכאשר סיפרו מעשה זה לרבי נתן מנרוב, and when they told the story of what happened to Rabbi Natan, who's a student of Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Natan, Kishiyadua Hirbel Itpalel Vatag Zerazo, who, as we know, prayed a lot in order to try to get this Gezerah cancelled. Amar, he said, Ilu Haita Pone Alai, if she would have turned to me, she would have come to me, this woman, הייתי מייעץ לה שתתחזק. I would have advised her to strengthen herself, ותקבע כל יום זמן קבוע, and to fix for herself every single day a fixed time, להתפלל לפניו יתברך, to pray before Hashem, שתצליח ותוכל להחזיר את פניו, that he will successfully return her son. והייתה מועילה בתפילה, and with her prayers she would have been successful not only to return her own son, ella hayu chozrim od kama v'kama yiladim bezkut tefila hazaka, but she would have merited to return not only her own son but also other children too in the merit of the prayers that she was making. Roimanu keitzad af v'meshaber kasher v'koev kol kach shehotfim yeled yehudi tamim v'sherut tzava rusi. We see that even in a situation as terrible as this, and as painful as this, where they took a child, a Jewish child, from the hands of its mother to serve in the Russian army, gam azri chimish mor yishuvdat. Even here, we need to guard our yishuvdat, our clarity of thought, ulamin she'ein sarat she'ein la pitaron, and to believe that there is no sorrow, that there is not a solution for. Ayyadei tefillah, through prayer. Ki ayyadei hatmadaba tefillah, because through consistent prayer, yom yom, every day, if shalash anot calls gezerah, it's possible to change any decree. Vizkot li shuot nosafot ulo'o ho'il gam lacharim, to merit additional salvations and to benefit other people too. Right? Doesn't matter what the situation, how terrible, right? The situation I just described, my neighbor, where the kids were given to the wife who can't look after them, not interested in them, and she's completely chiloni now, and these from kids are growing up chiloni. destroyed four lives, at least, not to mention all their families and generations after them. What's going to be if they don't make tshuva? Doesn't matter what the situation is. Don't lose your head. A person should know and believe with prayer anything can change. Instead of doing something silly, Rav Natan said, he would have asked me, tell them, fix a time every day. It doesn't have to be all day, every day, 6 hours every day. Fix a time, an hour, half an hour, wherever it is, every day, and pray. That's it. And then get on with the rest of your life.
And then stay together, while it's still be quiet. I'm confusing.
Yeah, so we're already talking after the divorce.
Yeah, no, I'm saying these people that you know didn't so that they're not.
I tried to give him a copy of this.
Are you saying though that advice would have been to stay together instead of time for individual prayer every day?
So before the divorce, for sure. Before the divorce, Rav Arush writes that anything can be fixed. Any problem in Shalom Bayit can be fixed. So, and the answer is not to get divorced. After the divorce, so what's done is done. If it's correct for the couple to get back together and to remarry, then the man needs to do his bodedut and to ask Hashem that if that's what you want me to fix myself and remarry my old spouse and now fix it back together again. So you need to show me that that's what you want and I'm prepared to do it. And if that's what Hashem wants, after enough prayer, it's going to happen without being forced. Right? He'll get a phone call, there'll be an intermediary that comes along and speaks to him, whatever, it'll happen. If that's what Hashem wants. But if that's not what you want, Hashem, then you want me to get on with my life and to find a new spouse to live with and to fix myself that way with someone new. So fine. So that's the other alternative. And to get and to move ahead and not look back.
So why would Hashem want these children not to be forced?
This is a very good question. And the question of why applies across the board in any situation. Some of them are like, why am I sitting here on this chair? It's a good question, why? But it's not such an impressive question, so we're not involved in that. But other difficult questions, like when something like that happens to these four kids, and like, so that begs the question, why is it happening? So the simple answer is, we don't know, and we can hypothesize all we want. The truth is there is an answer, and it's perfect justice, is exactly how it needs to be. These four neshamot need to go through exactly what they're going through in order to make their tikkun. How and why, who knows? Who they were in a previous life and what they have to fix now, we don't know. But what we can be sure is that there is a good reason. We can guess and we can say maybe that in a previous life they did something this and this is what they need to do. Who knows? But we don't know. But what we do know is that there's no questions on Hashem. Even though it looks like that it's not fair, they didn't do anything wrong, why should they have to suffer, etc., etc. You're right, in this life, it looks like it's not fair, and it looks like they didn't do anything wrong, and it looks like they shouldn't have to suffer. That's because we only see the small picture. Over the global picture, over all of the lifetimes and what they need to achieve in this world, exactly what they needed to be. I needed to grow up in a home that wasn't from. I needed to be completely, completely off the derech, right? Completely far away from Yiddishkeit. And then I needed to come back. I'm assuming, right? That's the story of my life so far, right? That's obviously what Hashem wanted from me, right? But while I was living in that secular lifestyle, if I would have had a conversation with a frum Jew, and he would have said, looked to me and said, why did God do that to you, to put you in that place? Right. Don't know, because it was only halfway through the story, right? Halfway through the film, you don't switch off and say, oh, look at that, come on. Right, what's going on there? Right, so far it doesn't look so good. You haven't seen the rest of the, what's going to play out, how it needs to be. Okay. Zero cloud bukosara. This is the rule in any suffering. Kasheko kohol shetiyeh. No matter how difficult it is. Lo aleinu. It shouldn't be. That's for sure. Shelo yachriv ha'adam et hayav begalav tarato. Person should not destroy their life on account of their suffering. You're suffering? Correct. Fine, you're suffering. Don't destroy your life over it. Ki mayoil b'chad, because what's it going to help? How does it help? It's not going to help. Kamama says it. Like the situation that we just described. Maho ila ha'isha b'tzara ha'histeri shevi l'muta. How did it help that woman who got so hysterical it caused her to die? From her, how did that help? Didn't help anyone, didn't help her, didn't help bring her children back. Now, for sure she can't help her kid. And even if he does come back by himself, now he's got no mother to look after him. Right? Even if by some miracle he does come back, well, he hasn't got an ima now, so what's not going to help? Ella, yikvaz man kavur. Rather, what she should have done is fix a fixed time. Letzfilah kechetzi sha'ah, to pray for just half an hour prayer every day would have done it. Sheba yivakesh ala baya sheyesh lo. During which time that person, whatever situation we're talking about, he should request from Hashem regarding the problem he's facing. And apart from that half hour, he should be happy all the rest of the day. And only this way is he certain of continuing with his life. With a life which is fixed. Vehen et Yeshuot Shinitzrafa, and also to receive the salvations that he needs to receive. Right, this is the only way it's going to happen. By moaning, complaining, getting hysterical, getting angry, blaming, shouting, all those other options, none of them are going to help fix anything. The only one that's going to fix anything is the one who caused the problem and who created the problem, who is going to pull the strings and is going to fix it all. Him you turn to. The rest, fine, might make you feel better, but you're not actually doing anything useful. Lachen, horim sheyodehem einam b'rishutam. Therefore, parents who have children that are no longer under their supervision, but einam mekablim tipul ra'ui, and who are now not receiving appropriate looking after, afal pi sheyesh lahem hatzaka ledagatam letzaram. Even though those parents now have justification for their worry and for their sorrow, chayavem hem lachlit, they are obligated to make a decision. Ani oser kol ma shebiyadi la'asot. I'm going to do everything which is in my hands to do. Bishvil la'azor liyadei b'mamon. In order to help my children with money, v'ratzon, with desire, uber tircha, and with effort. And so too, I'm going to try to make sure that I keep the best contact I can have with my children in the circumstances. But more than whatever I can do, the surah Buriya, in a healthy way, without pressure and sadness, etc. And I'm not going to do anything else. I've got a job to do here. I'm going to do whatever I can regarding these children. Right? So in the situation that we spoke about with his friend, he's going to do it. He keeps in contact with the children. He invites them to his home for Shabbat whenever he's allowed to have them for whatever the weekend. He tries to instill in them whatever Yiddishkeit he can within the short time he has with them. More than that, he can't do. So more than that, he doesn't worry at all. It's not his job. He's doing what he can do, and he forgets about it the rest of the day, the rest of the week, and gets on with his life. He doesn't sit there, chewing his fingernails, banging the tables, crying, moaning, complaining, telling anyone who's listening to him about what trouble his children are in, and it's a really bad situation, it's not fair, and how could the judge do it? The judge was an anti-Semite and wasn't interested in how the kids were going to grow up, and all those, right? He's got wonderful, he's got very nice. It's not going to help anyone, it's not going to change the situation. He should do what he can do, and more than that, ignore it and get on with your life. Milvat tefillah, apart from tefillah, there's nothing else to do here. Tefillah, yes. Tefillah, I can spend as much time as I'm prepared to spend in tefillah. Take it up with Hashem. Hashem, these are beautiful, sweet Jewish children. They need to have Yiddishkeit in their life. You, right? Take the argument to him. But don't take it anywhere else. It's a waste of time. It's not going anywhere. You're not going to overturn the court judgment. It's not going to happen. If it was possible, and the lawyer was a good lawyer, and the lawyer genuinely said, if we make an appeal, there's a good chance it's going to get reversed, Yoppy. So then that's doing everything you could in a reasonable way. It's a sensible thing to do. But if the judge says to you, you know what, you can appeal if you want, it's okay, it's going to be a waste of time. Right? It's just going to cost you money. The judge is never going to change their mind. Once it's there with the mother, they're with the mother. So forget the court fees and this and that. It's not the way. It's not going to be the solution is through prayer, through Hashem. But Sariach lechboa zman lakach. The person needs to fix time for this. Be it palel kol yom, to pray every day. Ke'ete dakot. 10 minutes. Not long, 10 minutes. Al hatzlachat yeladav. For the success of his children. And apart from that 10 minutes, he should remove this matter from his mind completely. And all the more so, he shouldn't start wars and to get lawyers, etc. involved. Because this is only going to damage him. And anyone who's involved in the matter. So, we're not learning tomorrow because of the hour for Am Yisrael. So Thursday, Hashem will finish that chapter.